Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm James.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast.
Hang on a minute. Should I say James Ewell?
Probably, if I'm saying Russell Leeds.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Do you want to do it again?
Yeah, do it again, sorry.
Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm James Ewell.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, how to buy your first buy-to-let property step by step. Now, luckily, we're here with, obviously, James, who have bought many properties.
Yeah, eighth one coming up soon.
Eighth one coming up soon, yeah. Fantastic. So you'll be well positioned to go through the step-by-step process of exactly how you do. So if you're buying your first buy-to-let property, this is what you're in for, basically. Okay, so we're going to start off with getting financially prepared. It's hard to buy a property if you don't have any money. I know we talk a lot about no money down deals and everything, but
yeah, the money's got to come from somewhere. Whether it's your money or somebody else's money, there's got to be some money.
If you're buying the property. Usually. Yeah. If you're doing maybe a lease option, you might be able to get around it. If you're doing different property strategies like rent to rent or deal selling, you can do it with very, very little money. But if you're actually buying a buy-to-let property, you either need money or you need an investor's money.
Or inherit. Something which I'm afraid I'm never going to do.
So if you inherit something, then you've got money. So it kind of goes back to point one.
Yeah.
All right. So, but you're probably not going to buy it for cash. Well, some people do.
Yeah, we bought for cash.
The whole thing for cash?
Yeah, we're buying our third one this time. Not for cash. This is the third cash sale.
Not using a mortgage?
No.
Go on, explain.
But we'll put it on a mortgage. So we're buying it for cash initially because we're converting it from a C3 to C4 or sui gen, depending on size of them. Meaning we're buying it as a normal house, we're turning it into a HMO.
Yeah.
So you know yourself, obviously, if we do that, we've got to get a bridge because I can't take a buy-to-let mortgage on it, I can't take a HMO mortgage on it, I can't take a commercial mortgage on it because it's neither. So I've got to bridge it. And when I bridge it, they sting me, like they're doing recently. I've got to pay a bill in 6 days of $23,000. Put up some bridging fees, which is nice. Thanks, bridging lenders. So we prefer to buy cash if we can, but then we flip them onto a mortgage afterwards. Obviously, we're not leaving money tied up. We're not imbeciles.
You say that, but Dave Ramsey teaches, I did a show about it a couple of weeks ago. Mm. He teaches that he says do buy real estate, but just buy it for cash. Don't get a mortgage.
Is he an imbecile?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know him. I haven't watched him, but I'm guessing he is because
I mean he's very well respected and he gets a hell of a lot of YouTube views.
Yeah.
But he's really, really against debt. And I think, like you, debt's a good tool.
Yeah.
Having said that, I mean interest rates are currently on the way down. But right now, if you're just doing vanilla buy-to-let investing, you'd probably make a better ROI buying for cash than you would buying with a mortgage.
Yeah, but the ROI on either is gonna be poor. A single lot.
Yeah, but if one's better than the other,
it's vanilla investing in itself, isn't it? Single lets.
Yeah, it is. It's very easy though. You're from Barnsley, right?
Yeah.
How much is the average house in Barnsley?
Good question. I think it's about 160-70k ish.
All right. So let's say you bought. Let's say 150. Just get maths easy. And how much would it rent out for?
A house like on 150 would rent out for about probably between 800 and a grand, depending on the finish.
All right, so if we say a grand again to make it nice and easy, right? So you're getting 12 grand a year.
Yeah.
So you're buying it for 150.
Yeah.
And you're getting 12 grand a year. So what's your yield on that? About
12.5 years.
12.5%.
Yeah, it's going to take me, 12.5 years to get it back?
But, right, if you bought the same property for 150 grand and used a mortgage.
Yeah.
Right, how much would you invest? How much would you need?
I would need 37 and a half, is it?
37, and you'd probably end up making nothing. Because probably, at the moment, normally the buy-to-lets. So at least with this way, yes, you'd need more money, but at least you'd be making some cash flow. For buy-to-let mortgage, on a vanilla buy set, you couldn't make no money at all.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I'd be lucky to clear probably 400 quid a month, wouldn't I? So then when you look at the ROI, it's probably even longer.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But you're right, just don't do buy to lets.
But why tie 150 grand up in an 150 grand house when you can tie it up in something that's going to cash flow higher and get 150 grand back?
I'm just saying that right now, vanilla buy to let, if you're just doing a literal just buy to let.
Yeah, if you're an imbecile and you don't know how to invest, cash is the way to invest in single lets.
There you go. So you need to get financially prepared, you need to get your money sorted, and then I'd also recommend as well, before you even look, go and speak to a broker.
Yeah.
And get a mortgage in principle.
See what you're eligible for.
Yeah, how much can we actually borrow? Because you don't know you need to know how much you've got, how much or you've got access to, whether that comes from an investor or yourself.
Yeah.
You also need, and part of that is your mortgage.
Yeah.
So what mortgage can we get, and get a mortgage in principle so you know roughly what you can lend.
Your credit rating is going to alter that as well massively.
Yeah.
What you're eligible to lend. And then also, don't forget on...
So maybe before you even speak to the mortgage broker, maybe download Experian or whatever, get a credit check, and then see what you can do to tweak it. So whether it be put yourself on the electoral roll, or, oh no, I didn't pay off that credit card, you know.
Do you know your credit rating?
Yeah, it's quite high.
What is it?
It was 999. It has dropped a little bit. I don't know why.
I'm on 998.
Ah.
I cannot get to 999. Don't know what I'm doing.
No, you're higher than me though. I'm in the 900s, but lower now. I don't know why though. I'm not quite sure exact. I think I've moved house a lot, and it's.
Is it because of that Lexus you bought?
I didn't buy a Lexus.
I thought you bought a Lexus.
No.
IS200.
You know for well, I didn't buy a Lexus. I don't know why. I don't know why it is. Maybe I'm over leveraged. I don't know. It's dropped a little bit anyway.
Possibly.
But yeah, actually, interestingly though, I did go to remortgage a couple of years ago, and when I did my credit check before I applied for the mortgage, my credit was rubbish. It was like 500 or something. I was like, what the hell? Anyway, turns out years ago, I'd had a bill from EE for...
It's always phone contracts that do it.
It was for a dongle. It wasn't even a phone. It was a dongle.
Yeah.
And it had run out, and I stopped paying it. I didn't know about it. It was years ago. And it was like 50 quid or something I owed them, because they'd cancelled it.
God.
I rang them up, and I argued with them. Next level manager, I want to meet someone high. And in the end, they took it off.
Yeah. Were lucky with that.
I know.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people whose credit rating's poor is because of EE contracts.
Yeah.
I'm with EE.
Yeah. I said this.
I'm gonna go back to Orange.
I was like, EE, right? I was on the phone to her. I was like, you do realise, like, I'm with you. I've got 50 employees that work for me that are all with you for our business. I'm gonna be cancelling the whole lot if you don't get this taken off.
Yeah. How long did it take him to take it off?
A couple of hours.
You've done well with that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So number one, get financially prepared. Number two, once you're in a position, you know how much money you've got, you know exactly what you can spend, you know what mortgage you can get. The next thing you need to just pick a strategy.
Mm.
So we've talked a little bit about vanilla buy-to-lets.
Yeah, which work anyway, I suppose. But you need to know what's going to work in your area.
Yeah.
You know, it's no good getting a serviced accommodation unit in the middle of a council estate somewhere. Same as it won't be a... really good idea getting a large HMO in the middle of Beaconsfield.
Yeah.
You've got to know your area, you've got to know your strategy, and see what you're winning for.
Obviously, you do mostly buy, refurbish, refinance, but I would say if you're buying to rent out, if you're not trying to do anything where you're adding value and using bridging and everything, realistically, if you want to make money, you've got social housing, you've got HMOs, and you've got service accommodation.
Yeah.
And they're probably the three best ways of cash flowing high.
Definitely.
From a property. And then social housing is a little bit...
It's a bit risky at the minute, isn't it?
Well, I would say 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I'd have gone, you still think bad?
I've said for a while, it's a risky business, social housing. Because depending... I mean, not all social housing is bad or risky. And, you know, anybody like battered wives... a lot of refugees, prisoners, things like that is good. But then when they start hammering areas and just filling like blocks of hotels and things like that, great money to be made in it, but it's risky, as we've seen.
Yeah, but you can make a lot of money.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So yeah, so number two is pick your strategy. Once you've got your strategy, you know what you want to do, whichever one it is, even if it's just vanilla buy-to-lets, whatever it is that you want to do. Next, you need to pick a location. Have you got any tips on how to pick a good location?
If you'll get a map of the world and throw a dart at it, Yep. Something's going to work in that area. You've just got to... I mean, if I lived in London, I'd do it in London. If I lived in Edinburgh, I'd do it up there or anywhere in between. It don't matter where.
So you pick somewhere close to
somewhere home. Close. Ideally, we're in 2 hours, definitely. I mean, all my portfolio's within an hour of me, but I think we're in two's reasonable. And then find what works in that area. You know, if you live in Northeast, then you need to be looking at HMOs.
So would you actually flip the order? Would you pick your location first and then pick your strategy? Or would you
probably,
kind of do
yeah.
the two kind of together?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably look at what's going to work around me. That said, I mean, you can travel 20 minutes down road that way and service accommodation is going to work well, and then 10 minutes that way and HMO is going to work well. So
I find service accommodation works well pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. Even in rough areas, people
like Barnsley.
Need to start. Yeah, and Beaconsfield.
Well, Beaconsfield's obviously a really nice area, but yeah, I know what you mean. All right, so pick your location, pick your strategy, make sure you've got your money lined up. They're your first three steps, roughly in that order.
Yeah.
All right, number four is BIC. You don't want a BIC. You want to book a big day of viewings. So
big day.
A big day. We call it a big day. So put a day aside.
8 hours.
Probably a Saturday. Eight hours. Go and find as many deals as you can that fit the criteria.
Why a Saturday?
It doesn't have to be a Saturday.
Try and drop on landlords.
Could be.
Evenings and Saturdays, that's when I had one.
Is that your favourite?
Yeah. Wednesday anytime or evenings.
Why Wednesday?
Because I've got a method.
Right.
So Wednesday I do my viewings. Thursday I do my numbers. Friday I put my offers in. Friday I get accepted, usually. That then gives me Saturday, Sunday and most of Monday to find the money. Whereas if I put offer in Wednesday, Thursday, they don't fall.
James, you missed the point one, which is get the money all lined up first. Right? You're doing it all wrong, James. You can't be telling people they've got a weekend to get the money sorted. Get your money sorted first. Don't listen to him.
Yeah,
he's a bad man.
What do I know?
All right, so yeah, so use the property portals, places like Rightmove, Zoopla, obviously speak to estate agents. Get as many viewings as you can. Why loads of viewings? Why is that important?
Because you're going to view a load of houses that don't work. I would say every five or six I view one of them, I'll actually put an offer in.
Yeah.
And then the
other thing is, like, if you put in three offers, you might only get accepted for one.
Yeah.
Right? So don't be afraid to view a lot of houses. Don't be afraid to put in a lot of offers. We're not in Scotland. You're not tied to it.
No.
Not an auction.
No.
You know,
and like I say, if you're only viewing two or three and they're no good, you're just going to feel so deflated at the end of the day, aren't you?
Yeah. So view as many as you can. Any that are good, point number five, kind of skipped ahead slightly, but point number five is make an offer.
Mm.
So I would suggest when you're making an offer, don't even think about the asking price. The first thing you want to be doing is you want to be going and valuing the property yourself.
Yeah.
Looking at comparables, looking at the price
what
per square foot.
Area.
And the other thing I do is if I'm viewing a property, if it's one that I'm keen on, if I like the property, I'll then go and have a look at some of the others. Not, I won't book a viewing, but some of the ones that have sold in the area. I'll go and have a look at them and, does this feel the same? Does this street feel the same as the street I was on?
Because like half a mile down that road can be a completely different experience, can't it?
Yeah.
Although valuers will accept up to 3 miles.
Yeah, but not if it feels different.
No.
You know, if you're on, you know, even places like you say in Beaconsfield now, you might have some streets where they're all mansions and then another street where they're just, you know, nice 5-bed detached houses.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and then little flats like this one.
Exactly. Whereas if you're, you know, in Barnsley, you might have like a little scummy 1-bed and you might have a little scummy 3-bed. Do you know what I mean? There could be, there's totally, totally different.
Oh, mate, you're going to get some Barnsley folk down here. I've got his address anyway. If anybody from Barnsley wants it, you let me know.
I wouldn't know. I've never been to Barnsley. so you want to be checking these and making your offers based on what you think it's worth. Because a lot of people, they'll put an offer in and they'll go, oh, it's up for 300. I'll offer 280.
Yeah,
20 grand.
It's actually worth
BMD.
220.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you like the property, make sure you do your research. Yeah, how much is it actually worth?
And that's where you're going to then, going back to the mortgage side, you're going to waste money because then when they send a valuer out to it, which they're going to do, if you're bidding 280 and it's only worth 240, they're going to be like, oh yeah, we'll mortgage it, but you need another 40 grand on top of your deposit for it.
Yeah. So once you've made your offer, hopefully one of the offers will get accepted. If not, rinse and repeat the other. So keep going, keep making offers.
Or start bribing.
Go on.
That's what I do.
Do you?
Yeah, so I always say to estate agents on viewings, I don't want to get into a bidding war with other buyers. I'm not interested in that because I'll be like, I'm having it, another $2,000. So what I'll say to them is, you tell me exactly what I need to pay for this, obviously minimum, and then there'll be a little brown envelope with £1,000 in it for you. When I get the keys. 4 times I've done this now.
And you give them a grand?
Yes.
Is this legal?
I don't know. I can't see it being illegal. It's just a... It's not a bribe. It's just a...
Well, you started off by saying it was a bribe.
It's just a thank you very much for helping me out and letting me know what I needed to pay. Because I'm still giving the landlord, the owner of the property, what they want for it.
I don't know, man.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, they're representing the owner and you're it's almost like...
Yeah, but if they said to the owner, how much do you want for it? And he says, I want $235,000 minimum. And then they come back to me and say, he wants $235,000. And then I go, yeah, I'll buy it then, $235,000. He's happy, estate agent's happy, I'm happy, everybody's happy. I don't get what the problem is.
No, true. When the popo come knocking at your door because they're watching the property investors podcast.
Well, I've moved from Barnsley anyway now, so they don't know.
Oh, they don't know where you live.
No, I'm in a nice area now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, not in Barnsley? Yeah.
No. There's nothing wrong with Barnsley. There's some nice areas in Barnsley.
But you said I'm in a nice area now. You're kind of suggesting that Barnsley isn't a nice area?
Well, the area I'm in is very nice, to be fair.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, hire a solicitor is the next stage, which I think you're going to have to do pretty sharply.
Yeah, the bit I hate, if I'm honest, yeah. Yeah, solicitors are just overqualified, overpaid, overqualified idiots.
Overpaid, overqualified,
yeah.
Idiots,
yeah.
Wow, that's not very complimentary. All
solicitors, I'm afraid, I just can't see how they can justify what they charge me and how long they take. Because if every sale I've done, I've had to orchestrate them all. And if you don't push them, they're just sat on it doing nothing.
Yeah, it's very true. They do take ages.
Yeah, like I used to be a gas engineer. And if I'd have just gone around to somebody's house and go, yeah, I'll fix this boiler, started it, and then just sat down for 3 hours and were charging them hourly rate. And they had to come in and go, can you carry on fixing that boiler for me? Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. And it's like that, I'd be all of a... social media and, you know, cowboy builders, whereas with solicitors, it's just socially accepted that that's what they do.
It's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know.
It's not normal.
It is very weird how slow they can be. I always think what they should do is meet everyone in person, because the reason they're so slow is normally it's like, oh, we said this, and then we're waiting to hear back, and then, oh, they've said this, and they're... Yeah. It's like, hold on.
You mean...
Stop it.
Like an American divorce. Get everybody around the table.
Mate.
Yeah.
Get everyone in a room. So right, on in.
Yeah.
We're buying the house.
He said that sofa were included. No, I didn't.
The only thing I do like about it being slow is if you haven't got your money all.
Yeah, it gives you time. Yeah.
All lined up, it does give you time to get all your ducks in a row.
Yeah, we on the last one we've just done, we got hit with they told us it were a $20,000 bill, then it were a $17,000 bill, and we've just set final bill today, $23,500 bill, and that just come out of nowhere last month. And then we were supposed to complete last month and they've dragged it out and now we're going to complete next month.
Yeah.
So I was like, actually, thanks for being slow on that one because
you've got another month to sort that cash out.
So
it's quite nice being slow. But if you want to be quick, I just think, look, I'm going to buy it, right?
Yeah.
Let's meet up next week. I don't know why it's going to take months. Obviously, you've got your searches. Yeah. Really, how long should the searches take? Come on.
What? 3 hours?
Yeah. If you're getting surveys done, valuations done, that should be done in a day.
Yeah.
You should be able to just ring them, just go, right? So
yeah.
It should be right, I'm going to buy the property. Next week, you'll have got all that sorted for me.
Yeah.
And what we'll do is we'll meet up, get everyone together, and we'll go, right, but is everyone happy with this? Can't see a problem. It's a freaking standard contract that we use every single time. Right. I'm sure all they do is edit it.
All they are doing is justifying the money that you're paying them.
Yeah.
That's all they're doing. They're just dragging it out just to make it look like they're worth the money. It's like a plumber being sat in your bathroom tapping pipes with a spanner for 2 hours to justify that 3 hour call out charge. That's all it is.
Yeah, I agree. But whether we like them or not,
they are a necessary evil in this
whether
game.
We like the process or not,
yeah,
you have to go and hire a solicitor.
Yes, you must, yeah. Oh. And to be fair, I hate on solicitors so much, but my solicitor at the minute, old guy, bless him, I think he's not got much longer before he retires, but he is pretty on the ball compared to whoever he was previously.
So he's not,
Alistair, thank you very much.
He's crap,
yeah,
but he's less crap.
He's less crap than them all, yeah.
You should leave him a nice review. Alistair is the least crap solicitor I've ever used. So once you've got your solicitor and they've started the 6 to 12 month process that is buying a house,
yeah,
what do you do now? I think we're on step 8. We're starting to look into getting your insurance sorted.
So then we have to look at getting insurance sorted.
Oh, well done. Yeah, yes. Good point.
Before
well made.
Before we will actually draw down the funds as well. They'll want to see insurance, buildings cover, and they'll want to see it covered for at least this amount. We've just said this recently on one of ours, actually, that we're completing on, and they've delayed it because it didn't say the word about subsidence. They used a word before it, like chronic. It didn't say, we'll cover chronic subsidence or something like that. It just said subsidence, and they've pushed back on it, lenders. So we've had to go back to insurance company to get them to amend it, and they're like, why do we need to just put a word chronic on this? And we were like, just do it. Just charge us your admin fee.
If anything, like you think that just substance on its own was better? Yeah. Because now it's like, oh, we'll cover chronic. Ah, it wasn't chronic, though. That is normal substance. That is not covered. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? That
yeah, so it's, it is important. And another thing as well to note with insurance, which a lot of people don't know, I found this hard way out because we had one cancelled, which always makes it good then when you try and take new insurance out. Is when we do HMOs, we have an empty house insurance because obviously we're refurbing it, so there's nobody in there, so it's insured that it's an empty house. We then, one of the first things we did, we refurbed it, we put tenants in it, started refinancing it, and then the refinance company were like, oh, your insurance policy needs to say that there's tenants in it. So, like, oh yeah, we forgot to change that. Run insurance company up, we're like, oh, we've got tenants in there. And they were like, when did they move in? All that. Like,
today?
About 2 months ago. Oh, hang on a minute. This could be insurance fraud. Well, like, what do you mean insurance fraud? Well, it's going to be a different policy now, and you didn't tell us, and blah, blah, blah. So, like, anyway, so they cancelled that policy, and then I had to set a new policy up, which were then cheaper than the existing policy I had, because they said it were more at risk while it were empty, somebody wrecking it and burning it down or whatever. Than when it were tenanted. Then we did it with another one where I rung the insurance up and I was like, right, we'd moved tenants in like day before. And I goes, we've got tenants in now, so I need to change the policy. When are the tenants moving? I says, yesterday. Oh, hang on. You should have told us this. I was like, this ain't going this way. And then I went, hang on a minute. You asked Becky, I went, hang on a minute. What? I went, oh, sorry, my wife told me they haven't moved in yet. They're moving in later today. And I think he knew. But I was like, I'll start playing you at your game.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we'll have to see if we can get this set up before they move in. I was like, well, you're going to have to tell me because they're on their way with vans. They're all coming in this evening. So I thought, oh, God. They will do anything, these companies, won't they, just to nail you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a fan of insurance in general.
No,
it's like
charging
a lot of money and then doing everything they can to wiggle out of it when it comes to paying you.
Yeah.
But it's a necessary evil. You have to have it. And if you had it burnt down, you'd be very grateful.
Well, if they pay out, I'm sure they'll find some clause not to pay out.
Yeah, it's not a chronic fire. That's just a normal fire. You're not covered for that. All right. So once you've sorted your insurance out, what do we do next?
We need to then start completing on the purchase.
So what does that normally look like?
So that's going to look like the drawdowns of the funds is going to come from the lending company, usually, unless it's cash. And that's where then your solicitors on each sides are going to start dueling it out on forms that are not being signed and T's that have not been crossed and I's that have not been dotted. And then you're going to have a nice... probably 6 weeks of going back to solicitors every other day because they need a new form signing. But then eventually when you get through that, the money gets drawn down And then the completion will take place on that day. You've got to then usually go in and sign same day with the solicitors. And then you get that nice feeling of walking out with your key.
New home day.
Yeah.
And what you should do at this stage, or I should almost add this in as an extra step, is when you get the key, you're going to stand outside the house.
And take a picture.
Selfie.
Yeah.
Pop it on Instagram.
Oh, definitely. Oh,
I don't think you've actually bought the house.
No.
If you don't do that.
Yeah.
If you don't take a selfie of the key, does it even count?
It don't count. And if you go through my Instagram, I think I'm stood outside of nearly everyone.
Yeah, I'm talking about you. So once you've completed all the purchase, next step is now to prepare the property for renting, because that would include potentially making necessary repairs to the property.
Yeah, refurbs.
Refurbing it, furnishing it, depending on your strategy. If you're doing it as a HMO or service accommodation, you'll definitely need to... probably as a buy-to-let, I'd recommend not. People normally want to bring their own furniture in.
Yeah, you're just going to carpet and decorate, aren't you, usually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and paint it vanilla. Well, a vanilla colour.
Not like a purpley colour.
Not aubergine purple, unless it's a... A specialist adult playroom.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Well, less than the, if you want to find out about that little private joke, then listen to last week's show. And then just your safety checks. Gas safety, electricity safety. Make sure, especially if you're renting it as a buy-to-let, there's certain stuff that you've got to...
Legionnaires. Get rid of that now, don't you?
Yeah. Tell them about that.
You can buy your own test kits to do that now, can't you?
Can you?
Yeah, you don't have to get a company in anymore. You can buy your own test kits. I'd probably still get somebody in, because it can be quite serious, that, can't it?
Even though you're, you know, a tradesman.
Yeah, I mean, it's only usually going to come into play, I think, if the hot water's sat between, I think it's about 50 and 58 or something. But it can sit in tanks, if you've got, like, old water tanks in lofts and things. So it can be quite risky. And I've heard of a few people who've been quite ill from it as well in the past. I used to work for a council. So we used to have to get them tested a lot, because obviously...
I wondered why you were so slow. That explains a lot.
Yeah, it took me,
it's all coming...
Yeah, it took me years to speed up after council.
It took you about 5 seconds to get that joke, so...
Do you know, I used to work for British Gas, and then I went to work... I started at the council, then I went to work for British Gas... And then I went back to another council.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Someone that's worked at multiple councils, how have you got the nerve to call solicitors slow?
Well, when I went to the second council, I'd done about 5 years at British Gas. And the first week I was there, the other guys were like, listen, you really need to slow down, because we don't do this many jobs a day. Because I was like, you're still working at British Gas. If we didn't do 10 jobs a day, you were sacked.
Yeah.
And then I went to the council and we're doing 10 jobs a day. And they were all doing like 4 and 5 jobs a day. And they were like, you need to slow down. You're making us look bad.
That pisses me off.
Yeah, well, I meant one of the companies, councils are struggling so much because of ethicness. It's like they've just got a load of solicitors working for them.
It's almost that bad. Almost that bad. So actually, buying your first property, it's not overly complicated.
No, when you've done it once, you've done it 1,000 times, really.
Yeah, so just quickly, just to recap. So number one, get your finances all in place, whether that be your mortgage or your deposit you need to save up yourself.
Or cash.
Or cash, whatever it is. Number two and three, I'm going to merge together because you can't do them at the same time, but pick your strategy and pick your location, where you're going to look. Number four, book a big day of viewings on a Wednesday for James, on a Saturday for anyone else. Number five, start making some offers. Would you be worried about offering on too many properties at once?
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah,
you can always pull out though, can't you?
Yeah, but it don't look good with the agents, does it?
No.
You know, when you're trying to create this...
So how many would you offer on at a time? One.
One.
One at a time.
Yeah.
What about if you had three that you loved and you liked all of them?
If I could get finance for them all, then I would.
Could you not put three lowball offers in and see what they come back with?
Yeah, but you're still going to get finance for them, aren't you?
Yeah, but they don't want to accept, are they?
So let's say... What if they did?
What if all three did?
Yeah. I've done that.
Have you?
I lowballed one because I told them I wanted it, and then something else came up. And I was like, I don't want that now. And we put a really low, stupid offer in. They accepted it. We had to buy it.
Wow. All right. One at a time, then, if you don't want to have to buy extra properties. Number six, hire a solicitor. Number seven, secure your insurances. Number eight, complete the purchase, and then finally, number nine, prepare it for renting. Get it all set up on the platforms, rent it out, get the property all ready. And it is as simple as that. That is how you invest.
Easy peasy.
In property. So guys, hope you enjoyed this week's show. I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm James Jewell.
And we will see you next week.